We have now reached chapter 21 of the Revelation, and will you turn with me to that chapter, Revelation 21. You'll remember that chapter 20 tells us about the casting of Satan into the lake of fire and brimstone, and at the end of the chapter we find death and hell cast into the lake of fire. So now all is ready for chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We looked at that verse briefly while talking about chapter 21, verse 11, where it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." As we said last time, the new heaven and new earth will be different, since there'll be no more sea. Perhaps you're wondering why. Well, we read about the destruction of death, and quite a number of people have met their deaths by drowning in the sea. So while you may enjoy it on holiday, it doesn't always provide pleasure. No reason is given, but that may be one reason why there's to be no more sea. What John saw next must have been a wonderful sight. Verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The description of this magnificent city doesn't follow straight away, as we're told several other things first, and then the subject is picked up again in verse 10. But we'll take the verses in the order in which they come. In verse 3, John says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You probably remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, one of his names was Emmanuel, God with us. That was a foretaste of this time when the tabernacle or dwelling place of God is with men and he will dwell with them. In the Greek, the word tabernacle is skene, and the word here translated dwell is skenoo, to tent or to tabernacle. So we could read it, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them." Verse 4 contains some no mores that we can all rejoice in. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Verse 6 contains the words Alpha and Omega again. We read similar words in Revelation 1, verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord." Here in chapter 21, verse 6, he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." You probably know that Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So continuing verse 6, "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, or better, these things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 7 mentions the overcomers who shall inherit these things, and then in contrast, verse 8 tells us, "The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Back in chapter 17, we read in verse 1, chapter 17, verse 1, And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And verse 3, So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now the last verse of the chapter, verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That woman was Satan's dreadful copy. She had many attractions, her clothing and her precious stones and pearls. She was not really attractive, but evil. She represented Babylon. Turning back to chapter 21, we find once again, one of the seven angels talked with John, verse 9. Chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Again he was shown a woman, but a very different woman, the bride, the Lamb's wife. This time he was not shown Babylon, because we read about its complete and final destruction, and lots of no mores in that connection, in chapter 18. This time, verse 10, He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Will you note the precious stones again, both here and further down in the chapter, including pearls once more? Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. We sometimes talk of cities having their streets paved with gold, but that's only in the imagination of those who hope to make a fortune there. But this city really will have a street of pure gold, as it were transparent glass, it's so highly polished. When God makes all things new, the beauty of it will probably make us gasp. There are some figures given concerning this city that are very important. Verse 12. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The present-day Jerusalem is particularly associated with the Jews, isn't it? We've seen that in previous studies, apart from the obvious fact that Jerusalem is in the land of Israel. Now what about this new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, that descends out of heaven from God? It's very much associated with Israel, isn't it? With its 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written on them of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Also, the city had 12 foundations. Verse 14, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles were all sent to the Jews, to Israel, as recorded in the Acts. They were associated particularly with Israel. As a result of the apostles' teaching, some Gentiles joined with the Jews, and it seems probable that they will be linked with them in future blessing as well. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the height, the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Before we go any further, we must think more about this stress on Israel. You know, of course, that the Lamb is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse talks about the bride, the Lamb's wife. We've already seen that Israel are the bride, and here we read of the marriage of the bride and bridegroom, the uniting of Israel with the Lord. Perhaps you're still asking, where do we come in? Well now, at all weddings you naturally have the bride and bridegroom, but that's not all. There are sure to be the invited guests. Also, there are always a few people in the street. And if it's a well-known couple, like a royal wedding, there'll be hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in the street who are not close enough to the bridal pair to be invited. But all the same, they're keen to see all they can, and they line the streets, hoping to see the bride and bridegroom go past. So where do we come in? If Israel is the bride, you probably don't come in there. But there are other possibilities. The people in the street, the invited guests, and so on. Some people form the church, which is his body, the body of Christ. Maybe you come in there. But it would be another subject to deal with that in detail. All we can say now is that obviously there will be various groups of people at that great wedding, some Jews, some Gentiles. They will all have a place in God's plans. So having read about the heavenly Jerusalem and its beauties, the holy Jerusalem that will descend out of heaven from God, we'll now finish our chapter, and we've reached verse 22. John was probably surprised at first over what it lacked. We read of its wonders and beauties. It's called the holy Jerusalem that descended out of heaven from God. And yet John says, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. Temples, sacrifices, priests, and so on, show that there's a distance between the Lord and his people, a distance caused by sin. But in the heavenly Jerusalem, that distance has been done away. And so we're told, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. Verse 27 may seem surprising in view of the fact that we've already read that those whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Why then, verse 27? And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The answer is probably to be found in chapter 2, verse 15. But we'll read verse 14 as well to see the contrast. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Inside the city are God's people, those who've been faithful to him. But without, outside the city, there will still be evildoers. When we were talking about the Old Testament prophets, we saw that the knowledge of the Lord would radiate from Jerusalem to the outside world. That may explain why we have these statements concerning outside the heavenly Jerusalem. Before we leave the subject of the heavenly Jerusalem, we should note certain likenesses between it and Babylon, only in appearance, of course. We've just read about the pure gold and the precious stones and pearls in the heavenly Jerusalem. Will you turn back with me for a moment to chapter 18, which tells us about the fall of Babylon? Chapter 18. In verse 15, we find the merchants which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Gold, precious stones, pearls. Yes, that's Satan's copy. He has his glittering attractions, but underneath is only evil. In the heavenly Jerusalem, that is not so. There's one point I'd like to mention with regard to pearls. In our chapter, chapter 21, verse 21, we're told that the 12 gates were pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. You probably know how pearls are produced. A little piece of grit gets inside the shell of the oyster, and because it's uncomfortable, the oyster makes a pearl round it to stop the sharpness of the grit hurting it. Men then open up the oyster shell and take out the lovely pearl, possibly without a thought for the discomfort that caused the oyster to make it. We've thought several times about the overcomers and the trials and discomforts they'll have to face. When they enter the gates of the New Jerusalem, they may be reminded by the pearls of sufferings and troubles which have been overcome by the oysters and in a far greater way by themselves with the Lord's help. When the overcomers have gone through these gates of pearl, they will find the street of the city. This is the end of verse 21. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Note it's not just gold, but pure gold. The things that the Lord makes, we rightly expect to be pure, perfect. But there's a thought here that's similar to that of the pearls. When gold is being refined, made pure, is heated in a furnace. At one time, the refiner repeatedly took off the scum that formed and rose to the surface, and then heated the gold further. At last he knew that the refining was complete when he could see his face reflected in the gold. It took a lot of heat to reach that point. It was a real burning fiery furnace. Job was a man who suffered greatly. He went through a tremendous test of his faith. But at one point he said concerning the Lord, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He thought of the refining process necessary to produce gold. The overcomers may well think of the refining process, the great test of faith, that they will have gone through when they see that street of pure gold in the heavenly Jerusalem. In fact, the city itself is similarly described in verse 18. Verse 18, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Well, now we've come to the end of another chapter, and there is, in fact, only one left. So until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you. Amen.